Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Good afternoon, this is Rob Christensen, and I apologize, I just woke up to 3 o'clock. I was so busy preparing. So, Brother Job and Sister Rhea, thank you for this opportunity. I'm excited. I'd welcome discussion, break in for question anytime. This is a very special broadcast today. My spirit's high. The other day my spirit was a little low. You're just kind of hanging in there. But it's been an enlightening experience to do a little research about COVID-19. But first of all, let me explain, you know, the theme that I've of this blog. And that is visible secrets, invisible power. What do I mean by that? Well, visible secrets are the lines in the sky from jets that we see every now and then. If you're in California, northern coast, you probably see a lot. And it makes the sky gray. The lines spread out, and you get this gray envelope, and it's kind of depressing. And what are those visible secrets? Well, they're aerosol trails. They're not exhaust. They're not condensation trails, as we're led to believe by official narrative. And let me go further. These lines in the sky are being manipulated by invisible power, by microwave technology. So we can, the human species is overtooled. We've invented so many tools that now we can program weather. Well, unfortunately, if you have a good cause, you can justify it to the people. But on the other hand, underneath in the darkness, you can make a weapon of these technologies of modern times. So weather warfare is what I will have been discussing in all these blogs. But visible secrets and visible power manifest itself in other ways. Visible secrets. Some of the people in high public office who hide their evil are praised by the public because they can manipulate our minds. They can program us. And I could cite an example, Henry Kissinger. If you really study the 9/11 a free fall of 3 buildings, one by fire without any airplanes, some small office fire, then you got to start questioning. And who was chiming loud and clear that the Arabs did it? The Arabs did it. They were the ones that sent the terrorists in the airplanes and so forth. Well, I digress. It's just that I have a lot of energy that I pour out, so I hope I can get to some of the topics at hand. And the precept for today is For we know what the whole of creation groans and suffers, the pangs of childbirth. And I'll do the reading with Romans 8, verses 22 on that. But just a word, too, about what people can do when they think critically and they don't get lost in books or they don't get lost in judgment and emotions. To illustrate these visible secrets, I remember at a public hearing where I spoke for a couple minutes and I met many people in regard to climate engineering, which is my subject and how it relates to the Bible. There was a man a little older than me with white hair, as I have white hair myself. He came up and said, "You know, I've been eager to find out something about those lines in the skies. I've taken photos. I've always wondered what's going on." So what a pleasure to give him fact photo material on climate engineering so he could finally understand the reality, the truth of this war on humanity. When you do what we have done with the weather and heck, the hydrologic cycle, the sacred cycle, you start destroying all creatures, even the soil, even the plants, and so on and so on, from microbes to whales. And another illustration that a blogger from geoengineeringwatch.org, the site I always reference, this woman saw a six-year-older. The son of this, the mother was right with her by the car, and he was pointing to the sky, asking, "What are those lines in the sky?" And of course, the mother just kind of dismissed, they're there a lot. I don't know what she said, but the blogger who shared this piece ran up to that boy and his mother, and she gave him a business card from geoengineeringwatch.org. Isn't that something? A young child of such innocence naturally sees something wrong, where the adult, so deep in their own world and what they've been programmed to believe, doesn't even think of it or dismisses it. What a great piece of spreading the spot fires of awareness by giving that business card to the woman to enlighten her, awaken her to this urgent emergency we all now face. So here's my qualification. If I were to run for office, here's what I'd say. I'm just another rube from a place called Loserville, whether on the screen or tube. I've wasted time against my will. Addictions, our afflictions, rise above them with convictions. Well, I say I'm a rube. That's just a word that's used on a popular radio program to talk about sports people who get all excited and emotional about their teams and say a lot of dumb, stupid things, funny things, well-meaning, having fun. But, you know, that's my qualification. We're all imperfect. I made a mistake last night, for example. I hooked to the wrong dock and almost took off where the load would have been running out of the back of the trailer. And by the grace of God, an alert coworker, he stopped me. He tapped on my door. He's, more or less saved my career. Things happen. Accidents happen. We get so intense in these days of rushing. But let me read on. And again, my theme throughout has been that the reality we face is a lot worse than most people would like to believe. Yet, unless we come to grips with this reality, the more pain and death we will suffer in the long run. So today's precept, for we know that the whole of creation groans and suffers the pangs of childbirth, that's in Romans in the New Testament, will address this issue and what we can do about it. Romans 8, verses 22 contains this precept phrase. I will read verses 22 through 28, and they will be read and discussed. So for every negative outlook there is a way out of it. Each and all are needed in this battle to salvage a once thriving planet, even if it's already too late. The miracles lie within each of us. Nature will respond accordingly to the spiritual power we find within ourselves today. As Yogi Berra's famous baseball player quote goes, "It ain't over till it's over." And then I want to go into a reminder of a previous blog of Christianity depends not on Jesus, but on Jesus' miracles. For example, creating bread out of stone, that's the physical world. That's a miracle, but that's kind of a, maybe an exaggeration. It's a magical thing, and that lets us off the hook in ways if we believe somebody can just come about and do such. It's not those type of miracles. It's the miracles that surrounded Jesus. For example, a blind man seeing, not physically, but spiritually. So we think perhaps of a blind man, all of a sudden he can physically see. But were we there at that time? Even though, you know, our loved ones say, our preachers may share such things, it's a good feeling to think physically such probably will. As has been said by Osho, you know, modern technology will find many magical ways to prolong life and whatnot. But what about spirituality? I also want to go into the point missed about COVID-19 as an unrestricted bioweapon. That's an article that was shared by Mr. Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org. And I looked into it, and it's mind-blowing, believe you me. The whistleblower reveals the second paper alleging large-scale organized fraud, science fraud. I also want to talk what Dane Wigington shared, perhaps from another article, I can't remember, but global process towards catabolic capitalism. What does catabolic mean? A simple way to put it is it's a snake eating its tail. And that's what we're, you know, this planet seems to be doing at this point in time when so much with this pandemic, we're kind of consuming ourselves, dying and so forth. Also, an interview with a geoengineer insider that took place several years ago with Dane Wigington, and the insider did not reveal himself because he could not afford to. He would have been under severe threat. Also, Douglas McMartin, a geoengineer advocate mouthpiece who debated with Dane Wigington, is highlighted in a couple of weeks ago in New York Times. You can key in search bars Douglas McMartin, New York Times, and you'll find that article. And Dane was able to expose this man for his tricks that, you know, there is such a thing as geoengineering, not. It's not just some proposal, as McMartin would have you believe. Also, an update on personal progress with spreading the spot fires of awareness of this ever-increasingly urgent issue of climate engineering and as a big piece of the puzzle, that if we get this one, we start putting the rest of the puzzle together and healing and reconnecting this poor planet. So let me just check my outline here. Sometimes I get lost in paperwork, so I've got all my papers organized today. So let's talk about COVID and the woman, Li Meng Yan, who made this amazing assertion that it's labs, not nature, that caused this pandemic. But it's so special because, as many of us have done some research in this confusing post-truth world, this woman makes some very, very clear, peer-reviewed, backed assertions of how this came to be. She was inside this whole effort. And she points the finger at both the United States and the Chinese government. But let me ask a question. If the second coming of Jesus were to appear today, where in this vast planet of 8 billion plus would he appear? Would he be shunned by world leaders? How would he bring his message? Would he be rejected by leaders claiming Christian faith? Would he be dismissed as a conspiracy theorist? Well, here's my take, and I welcome discussion. Jesus did not come into the world with automatic divinity. He had to earn his enlightenment, his understanding of the one life that connects us all. It is wordless, unmanifested, formless, mystical. Words such as Great Spirit, God, the Creator, and Yahweh have been used. I believe Jesus journeyed eastward in the 30 years he is not accounted for in the New Testament to learn from ancient culture, children of the first light, if you will. His language, leave the dead to bury the dead, is an example of the mystical, not physical, creating bread out of stone, as I have said in the introduction, as stated in my last blog, but spiritual, the blind seeing, not in a physical sense, but a spiritual blindness, is what Christ healed in others. So, another man has taken up the journey of Jesus to a level of great awakening, to reveal the big picture as to how we can connect to truth in this dark age of post-truth. Does it make sense that the man who takes this journey of enlightenment would have to know the darkness of oppression, but yet live amongst the greatest powers that be? What comes around goes around. Native American and other indigenous cultures have been genocided. As I've stated previously, whether in scripture or in picture, prophecy is conveyed. For example, in the New Testament, Jesus' parable of the unjust steward. It boils down in that parable, we can't have two masters, one being mammon, the other being God, in looking within your heart. And I think that it's a very profound parable where how difficult it is to describe in words what kind of mission, when you have such enlightenment, can you bring, can you give the message to people to enlighten them? And this was just a fantastic parable as a means toward that end. So Jesus' parable of the unjust steward. And how about when our beloved Minnesota prince rejected politics? He said, we are in prophetic times. And yes, he said, chemtrails is a sign of the times. So I say, yes, join the helm of the purple realm. I am from Minnesota, from St. Paul. So, you know, what Prince is more or less saying is there is no ideology that works, left, right, split. What good is that? No bias, no preconception. These type of words have also been repeated countless times by a man of Native American Choctaw origin. His name is Dane Wigington. And I always use Dane as a reference. Clearly, he states, in fact, I use Dane as a master. You know, we can seek psychiatrists. I've had my share of mental health problems. But a psychiatrist can help us cope with the insane world we're in, whereas a master enlightens you. And clearly, he states, the human species is genociding itself year by the year, by the hour, by the minute. The Hopi Indians' oral tradition declares that this big brother to humanity will appear. And the picture that they create is in the hieroglyph of Prophecy Rock, which shows the path, the zigzag path toward an end, which is the psychopath, as I put it, and then a bridge down to the lower path, which is the grounded one in earth, in accord with earth, which goes on indefinitely. And just as the millennia and millennia and millennia of tribal peoples that have not damaged the earth, but would have the wisdom to live indefinitely into the future and allow this Garden of Eden that once was to be. I declare that he is here in the flesh. It is Dane Wigington, the man who reveals the reality of weather warfare, the war of all wars. Let's not overlook the spider women of Hopi prophecy. They are here, but as men have taken lead in destroying the planet, a great man is needed to point this out. His message is that each and all of us can become the enlightened children of the light, enlightened children of the light, to overcome the darkness that, if not awakened, could become the death to the entire planet, Mother Earth, this miracle gem. Let me mention whom I believe are spider women today. I've talked in previous blogs about Judy Mikovits, a virologist who was basically canned by Dr. Fauci, who's in the hallowed halls of power and government. And another woman, Li Ming Yan. Dr. Judy Mikovits had the courage to come out and, you know, to the internet, explain what happened to her. This goes back to AIDS. She'd been, you know, found some discoveries. They had isolated the AIDS virus, and they wanted to force, Dr. Fauci and company wanted to force that finding and paper and you know, the discovery of the virus. They wanted it all in their possession immediately. And Judy said, no way. You know, this is science. These are peer-reviewed. We have, you know, the scientific facts. And you cannot just rob us of them. So Fauci, under pressuring Judy's co-worker, did get the information and delayed the healing of AIDS for another 2 years. What's the conclusion? The man is a murderer of many, many thousands, if not more than that. But that's for you to decide. That's for you to do research. But I put it out there for anyone to do a little research on this so-called spider woman, Judy Mikovits. Well, enter Li Ming Yan, a Chinese virologist who escaped from China to call the world, to the world to stop blaming nature for this pandemic. Stop blaming nature for this pandemic. It has human hands. Made in lab is her conclusion. Now, do a little research on the internet with her name, or I'll give you the title in a moment of her articles. But yes, censorship is ever more. So you may have a little difficulty. But thankfully, there's so many alternative sources that have got hold of some of the videos and interviews that it's, you know, they can't keep up with the censorship. But one of the important things she says, and it relates to the spiritual blog of this radio, this theme, that when you throw out faith in religion, if this is encouraged by government powers that be, who hold overwhelmingly centralized power, then I quote Li Ming Yan here, whatever they want to do should be the thing you can do, end quote. So as I paraphrase her, no bad consequence is recognized, just personal benefit and wealth. The government wants people to do it so they can get big things behind it. That's another quote of hers. And I might add that BitChute.com, vitchute.com was where I found this. And I, on one computer, it was censored, and my cell phone, it wasn't. I'm not sure how this all works. But I remember seeing the image of the interviewers. It was the War Room, bitchute.com. But let me also mention another Spider Woman, Abby Martin, a longtime alternative press activist of sorts, whether it's Palestine or Venezuela or the Anti-Defamation League, where she's had a lawsuit that says, why must a congressperson vow an oath to an organization that they can only speak in a certain way, only in positive terms, that they can't be criticized for what's being done by that Israeli government. And I should say that if you look up Abby Martin, she did a video on the foreign policy of Trump, of Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden. So a foreign policy of Trump and Biden, Abby Martin. If you use those search words, you'd find that video. But again, the outcome of these women is to basically shine a light on the darkness of the kind of war, whether it's a pandemic or whether it's the foreign policy of leaders, whether Democrat or Republican, that becomes centralized in the establishment middle, so to speak, that where one might go after Russia, the other will go after China. In Afghanistan, they can declare that it's over, but at the same time, it never is over. Certain amounts of troops remain, certain amounts of military budgets. The genocide of Yemen continues with the support of our government, whether it's Democrat or Republican, where unimaginable, obscene amounts of arms are given to countries. This is what an empire is. There's various forms of empire, but when you have hundreds of military bases that you can activate at in a moment's notice, that's what an empire is. And where Abby Martin has had the courage to come back after her bearing childbirth to continue her work to expose not only the American empire, but, you know, other empires. In other words, centralized power, in my humble opinion, it just corrupts. I never used to think that way. I always used to have a belief that, you know, leaders have a really ugly task, and that is to make decisions of life and death. But unfortunately, you know, the elite rule the many, and it becomes a criminal cabal in some way, shape, or form. But let's get to some more details on Li Mingyang and her second article that the COVID-19 is an unrestricted bioweapon. And I have to wake my computer again to get to that, so bear with me. If there's any questions, let me know, and we'll go on. Okay. Well, let me just begin by saying that in biolabs, they can replicate a virus in pieces, in segments. They can't do it all at once. And by doing it in pieces, they can multiply each piece as evidence, and they can get the genetic code of that piece. And DNA and RNA consist of the four combinations of nucleotides, I guess you call them. I used to be in biology. So, you know, of these limited combinations as you go down a ladder, there's a code. So they get all these codes and they put them on a gen bank, it's called. That's an international institutional bank of data that keeps record for medical purposes, and I might say now for war as well, for biowarfare. But, you know, it's got its good causes that when you have genetic codes, you can stop some diseases, maybe prevent some diseases and heal people. But what the article says is that Li Mingyang had been a virologist in Taiwan, and given the detective work to find out more about COVID with this health inst that she was in, she has ties to the United States. She can speak the Mandarin language. She has lived in mainland China. So she's as insider as you can get. And, of course, she's been tarred, feathered, and barbecued for speaking out. But the clarity of her evidence is overwhelming. Her understanding and her lengthy article, if you want to find it, can give you an indication of the loopholes that can be done to create the false idea that there are viruses out in nature that are very, very close, like 96% of a match to the COVID virus. Thus, the idea that, okay, bat soup in China near the Wuhan biolab, that's the source, and that other bats have this. Well, she has proven with the codes of the connector that makes the genetic leap from bat to human, that the connector of the virus, the projection that sticks out and links in like a key to the human cell, and, you know, it's compatible, that key. So it's what you call a gain of function, where something that was previously a threat to bats themselves, a disease or whatever, now hops over to humans. And in a lab, we can create in 6 months something that evolution might take 200 years to do. So by tissue cultures and by temperature changes, you can open up DNA so you can get one piece or strand or segment, and you can multiply that segment. And it's somewhat difficult to explain, but also you can take known codes from other bats and you can type them in, and you can actually create as evidence that some of these segments would appear to be valid. But as the doctor said, there's the curatorial ability for somebody to oversee all of this data. It's just not there. So again, governments are known to find ways. Scientists, very intelligent people, are known to find ways to trick people. And that leads into my next area of talk, and that is catabolic botulism. So if you can engineer in a lab a pandemic, which this article clearly states and shows at length and is peer-reviewed and goes through many questions that, you know, are covered over. And she uses the example, too, of a doctor who, I don't know if I can find the name in front of me, but who experimented with babies, Dr. Ha Jinkui. Well, Li Mingyang questioned this doctor at a conference. So the publications of this doctor, organizations like the World Health Organization, they have this stuff on paper. There's a paper trail to all of this, especially as Li Mingyang has said, you know, she had access to the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party labs. she and their documentation, and there were two prototypes from which COVID-19 was made. And you know, was it made in Wuhan? She said it could have been, but there's other labs out there, even in Taiwan, other places throughout China, and we should know the United States has labs throughout the world, and collaboration among scientists is there in the paper trail, where China has less restrictions on gain of function. So Dr. Fauci, for example, previous article, I believe it was in Nature, it said scientists objected vehemently to his funding of $7.4 million, I believe it was, to the Wuhan lab, so that together they could develop this pandemic. And as Dane Wigington says, how is it that Dr. Fauci could say with certainty back before the pandemic in 2017, we will have a pandemic in this administration? How could it be, as Dane Wigington says, that Bill Gates in October, right before the pandemic, did a coronavirus pandemic exercise? You know, we need to connect the dots. We need to enlighten ourselves to protect the web of life, web of deceit. And let me get the article and the name of the article. And I want anybody that listens to this now or in the future, it's called COVID-19 is Unrestricted Bioweapon. Whistleblower releases second paper alleging large-scale organized scientific fraud. And this was on coronastocks.com and other sources. But there's plenty of access on this one. So this was a second publication where this tremendous detective work, this tremendous courage, where this woman, this spider woman, who's connecting all the dots, has been able to escape. She had someone, there was a foundation, a nonprofit foundation, if I understand it, I can't get the name, but a man there named Luther assisted Miss Yan in, or Dr. Yan in escaping, and she's hiding somewhere. But she's conducted interviews like with loose.com, some women, a women's website that was one of the main sources, among others. So she's conducted, you know, several interviews to do this. Well, that's that. I want to get to the catabolic capitalism and what that means, because indeed one could view this pandemic as if a power structure is desperate, as they've announced in various eerie ways, but, you know, innocuous, that's the word I'm looking for, where somebody will come out and say, like David Rockefeller, you know, ideally the population on Earth would be 500,000. Then we would have, we could live, you know, with ease, and we wouldn't be destroying the planet. But that leaves the question, well, if that's your plans, Mr. Rockefeller and company, what about all of us? So we're just going to be left out in the fire. You know, it's tunnel vision in my view. And as the Hopi prophecy says, their only solution is to destroy the planet and hide and wait it out, hide in tunnels. You know, tunnel vision leads to living in a tunnel. Well, good luck with that. I mean, we're in prophetic times, and that's all I can say about that. So again, no religion, but We can just do whatever we want for the sake of a pension and money, and nothing matters if you believe that, you know, there is no faith, no God. And that seems to be the way governments can turn out, unfortunately, the nature of corruption. So finally, where are we at with time? We've still got some time. The catabolic capitalism. I'm just going to read some of what Dane said. Because industrialization differs from all past civilization in four crucial ways, and every one of them will accelerate and intensify the coming collapse, increasing the difficulty of recovery. Footnote, any notion that there will be any return to the formerly thriving planet we've all known is a scientific statistic impossibility, according to Dane Wigington. So number one, modern industrial civilization is powered by an exceptionally rich, non-renewable, and irreplaceable energy source, hydrocarbon fuels. This unique energy has base predisposes industrial civilization to a short meteoric lifespan of unprecedented boom and drastic bust. Megacities, globalized production, and industrial agriculture, and human populations approaching 8 billion, all historically, exceptionally, and totally unsustainable. So without a constant supply of hydrocarbon fuels, the abundant and easily exploited oil fields and coal mines of the past are mostly depleted, and while there are energy alternatives, there are no realistic replacements that can deliver the abundant net energy that hydrocarbons once provided. Our complex, explosive, high-speed civilization owes its brief lifespan to this one-time rapidly dwindling energy bonanza. Number two, unlike past civilizations, the economy of the industrial society is capitalist. Production for profit is its prime directive and its prime driving source. The unprecedented surplus energy supplied by hydrocarbon fuels has generated exceptional growth and enormous profits over the last two centuries. But this historic windfalls of abundant energy and constant growth and rising profits are vanishing. Capitalism will not disappear when boom turns to bust. Instead, energy-starved, growthless capitalism will turn catabolic. Catabolic refers to a condition whereby a living thing devours itself as profitable sources of production dry up. Capitalism will be compelled to turn a profit by consuming the social assets, that's like we the people, it once created. By cannibalizing itself, the profit motive will be exacerbated. Industrialized societies, dramatic decline, abrupt collapse. Catabolic capitalism will profit from scarcity, crisis, disaster and conflict, warfare, resource hoarding, ecological disaster, and pandemic diseases will become the big profit makers. Footnote, engineered pandemics are a verifiable response to unfolding collapse by those in power. Capital will flow toward lucrative ventures like cybercrime, predatory lending, and financial fraud, corruption, racketeering, weapons, drugs, and human trafficking. Once disintegration and destruction becomes the primary source of production, catabolic capitalism will rampage down the road to ruin. That is the zigzag trail of the Hopi prophecy rock inscription or hieroglyph. It's the road to ruin, a zigzag road of imbalance. Gorging itself on one self-inflicted disaster after another. Number three, unlike the past industrial societies, are not Chinese, Roman, Egyptian, Aztec, or Mayan. Modern civilization is planetary in scope, and in its ecocidal, even omnicidal, pre-industrial civilization depleted their topsoil, felled the forest, and polluted their rivers. But the harm was far more temporary and geographically limited. Once market incentives harnessed the colossal power of hydrocarbons to exploit nature, the dire results were planetary. Two centuries of hydrocarbon fuel combustion have saturated the biosphere with climate-altering carbon that will continue wreaking havoc for generations, even centuries to come. The damage to Earth's living systems, the circulation and chemical composition of the atmosphere and ocean, the stability of the hydrologic cycle and biogeochemical cycles and biodiversity. The entire planet is essentially permanent, or the damage done. There are virtually unspoiled ecosystems or new frontiers where people can escape the damage that the human race has inflicted on the planet, but there is now no place to hide. Number four, human civilization's collective capacity to confront its mounting crisis has been and is crippled by fragmented political systems of antagonistic nations ruled by corrupt elites who care more about power and wealth than people on the planet. Humanity faces a perfect storm of converging global calamities, intersecting tribulations like climate chaos and rampant extinction, food and fresh water scarcity, poverty, extreme inequality, in the rise of global pandemics, which are rapidly eroding the foundations of modern life. The fractured political system makes organizing and mounting a cooperative response all but impossible. And the more catabolic industrial capitalism becomes, the greater danger that hostile rulers will fan the flames of nationalism and go to war over scarce resources. How people respond to the collapse of industrial civilization will determine how bad things get and what will replace it. The dangers are monumental. In fact, they are existential. They will force us to question our identity, values, our loyalties, like no other experience in human history. Who are we? Are we first and foremost human beings struggling to raise our families, strengthen our community, coexist with other inhabitants of the planet? Or do our primary loyalties belong to our nation, our culture, our race, our ideology, or our religion? Can we put the survival of our species and our planet first? Will we allow ourselves to become hopelessly divided among racial, religious, or partisan lines? The eventual outcome of this great implosion has yet to be determined. To overcome the denial and despair, break our addiction to hydrocarbon fuels, and pull together to get a grip on this, and just give me a moment here. I'm reading from Dane Wigington's radio blog, so forgive me if I falter a little bit here. So, corporate power over our lives, or will fear and prejudice drive us into hostile camps, fighting over the dwindling resources of a degraded planet? The stakes couldn't be higher. If we're to have any chance of even near-term survival, the climate engineer, weather warfare, toxic assault must be fully exposed and completely halted. It's up to us, the people, to expose and hold to account for all those who have helped to lead us to this dark horizon we now face. Elected officials of all stripes, agency officials, the media, and the legions of so-called academicians that have betrayed the human race and the web of life by their willful blindness, constant participation in the total deception of populations carefully crafted by the controllers, the willful deception of populations in exchange for a pension and a paycheck in the temporary preservation of their personal paradigms. All the while, weather warfare rages on in our skies and environmental collapse rages on by the day. The political circus or the carefully casted performances are not here to save us. Their goal is to polarize, dividing, and thus conquer. Clinical analysts make clear the controllers are not rational, not reasonable, or sane hosts. Or saying their agendas are killing our host planet Earth. And to go on, the results are not an objective, rather it is a consequence of their hubris, which is comparable to a malignant cancer. Does a cancer intend to kill its host? No. A cancer exists to proliferate without concern for the consequences. If the cancer is not halted, the host inevitably dries up, or the host inevitably dies, pardon me, which includes us in this case. This is the path, this is the zigzag path we are collectively on, the journey of the planetary Titanic on which we are all currently passengers. We are out of time. Make your voice heard in this epic effort to turn the tide. Check the activist suggestion link on the webpage geoengineeringwatch.org to learn how you can help. So that's who I say is the enlightened man of the time, of the world right now, who's showing what men overall have done this planet. You know, we, as Russell Means has said, you know, we point the finger at nature, but it's the hemlock that we serve ourselves of, this breaking branch called the globe that we're all resting on. And again, another point that all empires in their glimmering, shining eminence and mitre become the enemies they once vanquished. It's just that as they become the enemies, it's just in a much larger form. So that's the example of this metastable cancer that, you know, one enemy conquers another enemy, conquers another enemy, one empire forms another empire, forms another empire, and we get these larger and larger and more dangerous mammoths. But I overlooked, and pardon me for that, but the very important reading about today's precept, and I'll read it now. And it is from Romans 8, verses 22 through 28. And what's special about Sounds of the Living Waters, as I've listened on occasion, I can't listen enough, is the shared Bible readings, the discussion. So I've gone out on the limb just on current events pretty much, but let's get back to the spirituality of Scripture. And here it is. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning, with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So that's the reading for today. And with just limited time, I'll mention that it was interesting. Just last week, there was a New York Times article featuring Douglas McMartin, chief geoengineer, advocate, mouthpiece for climate engineering, who portrays climate engineering as, hey, this is an idea that if we have to do it, we'll do it. Well, this man debated Dane Wigington years ago, and one could go to geoengineeringwatch.org and just type in Douglas McMartin to get to that video, 1 hour long debate. But there he was, New York Times feature article about the climate and you know, the problem of global warming and his so-called solution. So I won't go into that. The other thing I wanted to mention was a geoengineer insider, and I can't get into any depth with that, but let me say this. Also, a few years ago, Dane interviewed this man who is connected with all the agencies involved in climate engineering. He explained why it's kept secret, but he explained some of the ways, the inspiration for it. And one example is in the use of polymer fibers to suspend the particles that they spray from jets. The idea came from the spider web. So if you can make filaments really super thin, nanoparticle thin, and that becomes kind of a platform to suspend the heavier particles, the aluminum, the strontium, et cetera, that are signatures of these patents that can be found measured in rainwater, that can be found in the soil, changing the pH of the soil, changing the ability or killing off microbes in the soil, thus not allowing trees to grow properly and get their nutrition. And I could go on and on about the destruction of the ozone. Yes.
Hey, Thomas, can I ask you a question?
Sure,
I don't know if you've seen that big, if you seen that big snow pile that they usually put over there off of between Lexington and 94 and University, when they usually have a big snowstorm. That pile usually take about maybe 5 months all the way into June to unthaw. That's not right.
Okay. Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's an excellent question, because let me tell you this, Brother Job. It goes both ways. If you are using chemicals to create toxic low-level cool downs where we perceive this icy cold and the escape of heat from this chemical process goes in the upper altitudes that even pilots have known is like, where did all this heat come from? On the one hand, I stated in an earlier blog that Colorado has had a lot of snowpack last year, appeared fast. So it has a dry ice effect, sublimation, where, you know, ice turns to vapor instead of ice turns to liquid. So when you put these chemicals in the snow, there's two ways that the runoff, the reason why Colorado in part became so full of fire this year is that even though they had a lot of mountain runoff, it disappeared fast. They couldn't account for half of where that water went. And so when you say, you know, the vast collection of snow and why it doesn't disappear, I don't know what to tell you. That's kind of opposite. But I guess the sheer volume, it's like a glacier where, you know, there's so many layers of ice that it kind of, it's the sheer volume where there's not much surface. So if it was like Lake Minnetonka ice, that ice disappears fast because that surface is exposed. But if it's a great big ball, there's not much surface to evaporate. you know, to get to that inner ice.
Well, what I've been finding is, you know, like on these new snowfalls and things like that, it's a film on top of it. Sometimes it could be yellow.
It's a residue.
You know, it's a residue.
Very good point. I'm talking about in
uncharted areas, like, you know, where there's no animal, you know, where there's no track set, you see residue. And where this stuff is coming from. The other thing is you brought up the COVID thing that they put out here. And I take it they were saying, well, COVID-19, the last week when I was looking at the sky the week before, it was like 70 degrees around here. And next thing you know, you're seeing all these condensational trails everywhere, not condensation, aerosol trails.
Right.
And I said, so they're going to do something. Something is up. And then the following week, they start putting out here, the new COVID trait is you lose your sense of smell and taste. I said, oh, so whatever they putting up there has got your sense of smell and taste off. You know, and so they trying to say it's a COVID it's coming from COVID, but actually it's more than that. I think they putting stuff in the air. I'm just saying. To me, it wasn't there until I seen that.
Brother Job, I hope people hear what you just said. That is what you call critical thinking, and that is what we don't get from university institutions. That's observing nature, like the old man I talked about who came to me and said, for years I've been filming these, you know, taking photographs of these lines in the skies, knowing that there's artificial, something's wrong. And that's the same thing, you're right. And I'll give you an example that's another example of the fact that you're making an observation that's true. There are chemicals that discolor the snow. And, you know, with ice nucleated snow, you can even light a match and you'll get kind of a flame. But here's another example where in a river, after an ice nucleated snow or rain down, you'll get suds. You'll get soap because anionized surfactants are used to separate the chemicals to keep them from clumping together when they spray from the jets. So the result can be like in the ocean, these vast soapy foams that come out, or in a river, you know, from a storm that just happened, a soapy foam. Or as I almost got into a severe accident, which could have cost me my life driving out in a truck after an ice nucleated snowstorm. The road was so slippery, and it was verified by a U of M scientist in three sections of the United States sample, or of Minnesota, independent lab verified surfactants in that snow. And when you see a film of a highway patrol state trooper being blown across the road, that he can't even keep, you know, can't even stop the wind. He just gets thrown across the freeway, slipping. That's a sign of the accidents we have with vehicles, the extreme slipperiness of that blizzard in 2019 of April. So, yes, excellent observation on your part. Good question. And
I was just throwing it out there, you know. And the other thing is, you know, with the new fines on this COVID deal, since you brought that up, first it started out, okay, it can't exist in warm weather above like 70 degrees Fahrenheit. And it only exists on metals, so you got to be careful. It can't exist at sub-zero temperatures and all this. It can't exist around alcohol. That's the reason why we use aerosols and Lysols and things like that. But you go to a bar that's loaded with alcohol, that's well above 70 degrees, and it's a COVID-ness. How is that?
Yeah. You know, I haven't even contemplated that. But, yeah, how this COVID gets distributed, there's obviously, if they could make in a lab, they've got plans. They've studied for years how to make these beasts. And if they can manufacture them, they can start with a, you know, a bad flu and make it a worse flu, which seems, you know, they were saying back in August, according to Dane Wigington, twindemic. Well, if they're saying that in August, how do they know, you know, these questions? And thank you again for mentioning aerosols, because as Dane has found in his encyclopedia webpage, there's articles on that have opened up under the statute of limitations that indeed populations have been subject to sprayed pathogens by jets. There's been like 100 experiments. So here's the visible secrets. Bill Gates, Ken Caldera, Peter Fauci, and even Donald Trump, who said, you know, this pandemic is genius. It's like he knows. He knows China, you know, isn't the source, but he also has to know, just like he's been explained about geoengineering before he, as he was assuming presidency, he knows this stuff is going on. And when Bill Gates says that Ken Caldera, the second most prominent geoengineering, is his teacher, well, what does that mean? They've corresponded together. These visible secret people who are prominent people to the public eye are working behind the scenes to cull the population. It's catabolic capitalism. So again, Bill Gates and the same man, Ken Caldera, who said in a conference, I have done biowarfare experiments. That was my job, to experiment with spraying pathogens from a jet over the enemy populations. And, you know, things tie together so clear when you dig deep and dismiss the fear of being called a conspiracy theorist. But at the same time, the wariness, I've been suckered into the rabbit hole, gone in the wrong direction, because if conspiracy theory is a means to confuse. So if there is a true nugget of truth that's called a conspiracy theory, it's buried amidst other lies and conspiracy theories to confuse us. So, you know, I've got a poem, maybe I can end with this, because I've got to get going pretty soon. But it talks about, oh, I just went in the wrong direction. Maybe, oh, here we go. But bear with me for a moment, and I'll get to my poem about how I describe how we get bamboozled. But I might add, too, there's a saying by Dane, if I can find it, that, you know, about fear, and, well, I can't find it at the moment. Basically, he's saying that, you know, we can't get overwhelmed by fear. We just have to go with what we've got and what we know by the moment and not let it get to us. But here's my poem. It's called Human Nature's Nomenclature, which nomenclature is organized rules, names, from careless to awareness. Inward source, outward expression, lost in form and misperception. Leaders ruling, owning nations, which is fascism. Why believe in their deceptions? Individuals, populations receive from them misdirections. Indeed condemn this separation. Dark forces fight for resources. Ancient truths well lit. I might add Garden of Eden. A little lie to split. Proceed to falsify. till half is truth and half is lie, slowly fades from light to dark, and I might add the dimming of the skies, the fading of the light of life. Humanity's sea of insanity, the consequences stark, was war-torn and forlorn. To right is wrong, as if to earth we don't belong. Populations to outwit, evil method is to split. Ways and means of separation, now an empire, once a nation. What's the answer to this cancer? Evil forces divide and conquer as they hide. Then they climb to higher crimes. Their encore is more rancor. We take the bait, we take the bite, falling prey like fish to the fading light. New beginning, stop the dimming, inward source to rest, outward moves expression. One life force defined unites your heart to mind. Divine force will test, thus behooves confession. Rejoice, ease tension, by choice, by lesson. Manage fear, you're at the helm. Fate unclear, don't overwhelm. Will to steer toward higher realm, transcendent, resplendent. So I guess those last words are pretty much what Dane has said about fear. You know, we just have to manage it. It's going to be there, but we can't let it overwhelm us. And we can each know that others are spreading spot fires of awareness, as you have helped me to do and others along the way. So, with that, I can close the program. It's so, Brother Job, are you still there? Well, bless you all for listening. I hope some people catch this one. I had more energy, and I hope I'm a clarion call for alarm to sound the alarm. So bless you all.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Times of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show.